Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Yo, welcome to the fourth ever episode of Balls Deep Sports. Of course, you guys know me, Rod, and the soon to be tattoo Rod, as we got 100 people that decided to pay for shit like this. Speaking of, like, today.
Thug life.
It's gonna be thug life all day, up and tatted up, you know what I'm saying? The blackout test forever all on my arm and shit. And speaking of the blackout test forever and going balls deep, I cannot do the show without my co-host, Justin, man. What's up, dog?
Skiwi. What's up, man? What's going on?
Chilling, man. You know how it is, Jay Treasy.
It's good to be back in the house.
It is, man. A lot of sports shit happened this week, man. So, we had to go and get a very special person to the podcast. Somebody that has been on the Blackout Tips, numerous times before. And a person that is, running things up in Canada when it comes to sports talk. He's got, so, you know, he's got so much hustle, man. Like, I call him the hustler, but he goes by the entrepreneur. Cause you know, he does that. But you can check him out one-on-one with Will and Dwayne. And All Balls Don't Bounce on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. It's my man, Wall Street, aka Will Strickland. What up, money?
What's going on, family? And from now on, I have to add the name Cream Corn to my list of nicknames and nomenclature because I'm running things.
Oh man, it's good. It's been a long time since you know, I caught up with you, man. It's real good to get you back on a proper podcast, and this will be the first time ever that I've had you on a podcast to talk about sports. You had me on your show to talk about sports, but
no doubt.
You know, we bringing in the expert, the expertise right here.
you know, that's, I appreciate it, man. I feel privileged to be a part of the new podcast. You know, it's somehow we tend to like balls somehow. You know, your balls deep, and we're about All Balls Don't Bounce. Hi-o, shout out to our people from filling the lane.
Yes, sir.
No, it's all good, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we definitely don't just go balls deep with anybody. Like, we are very selective in our talent pool, man. So, all right, man. Speaking of balls, we got to talk about the number one topic that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. And it's starting to wind down, but the NBA playoffs. Yeah, man. I know. I get that feel. It's about that time now where I switch over from exuberant, just enthusiasm to sort of like a melancholy every time the game is over. Like, one less game to watch before it's over. We'll go with the first series, man. This, cause I think this is the most surprising. The Spurs swept the Grizzlies like it was nothing. They swept them up like they were janitors and the Grizzlies were toilet tissue on the school bathroom floor. So I'll get everybody's thoughts about it. Justin, man, what did you think about that? That's what I consider to be a surprising sweep of the Memphis Grizzlies.
I actually was surprised myself as well. I did not expect for a team led by, you know, Tony Allen, Mark Gasol, and Zebo to just pretty much lay down and die each game over careless mistakes. And the fact that Zebo didn't show up at all. Mm. Like, he went down, like I said before, he went down to San Antonio that first game and was around all those white women, a different level of groupies.
That's true.
And he just...
Everything's bigger in Texas.
He could not get back on track. And it was thoroughly disappointing because I think if you add his contributions to the game, It would have made it a different series. It would have went seven games. I would have been happy it went seven games. But I'm happy with the result that San Antonio won. I like the coach. He's an excellent coach. He has a good system. His players buy into what it is he's doing. Most of them. Mm-hmm. All except my man, Steven Jackson. Shout out Steven Jackson.
Yeah. Well, even
keep it 300 at all times.
The problem with Steve is not that, it really wasn't just an issue with Popovich. It's that he was right. And you can be right and sane and stand in your place, or you can be crazy and wrong and still stay on the team. But you can't be crazy and right and stay on the NBA roster, because that makes you uncontrollable, and eventually people will agree with you that, you know, like, why isn't Steven Jackson starting over Danny Green? That would have became a real conversation. So he had to go.
Yeah, it's one of those things during his argument with Pop that definitely, even when you win, you lose sometimes.
Yeah.
And he won, but I mean, really, he lost right now. He could be right now getting prepared for the finals.
He could be T-Mac right now.
Yes.
Or he could be getting ready to be one of the best head coaches in the NBA, because you can be right and crazy, and you can still win, apparently, because Greg Popovich got rid of the guy, like you said, that I thought could have helped. He has a championship ring for a reason, mm-hmm. and he contributed last year. Even though they lost to OKC, he was the one talking about, I make love to pressure, and he did his job. So why would you get rid of him? He didn't create disharmony. He just expressed that he didn't want to be on the bench where he could have helped the team.
I feel like what happened was Pop headed him off at the pass, because he realized that it was going to be another like month and a half of that. You know, because basically, you know, he announced the playoff rosters, and I'm pretty sure Steven looked at that chart and was like, hold up, Pop. It looked like you wrote something wrong, man. For some reason, right. Danny Green is at SF. And I got a B next to my name. Now, that can't be right. And I feel like Pop just said, you know what, man, I'm not having this discussion for a month, so I'm going to let you go. Now, am I saying this right? No, but I think Popovich does shit like that because of his pedigree. You know, he don't even talk to sideline reporters.
He even played him dirtier, because he made sure that he did the cutting after the deadline for when you can let a guy go and he can find another team to play for in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So he put him in purgatory, basically, because he couldn't go and get a job elsewhere. He waited till, I think it was after March 1st, you have to announce who you're going to keep on the team or not. And he announced it like 2 days after that. And how cold is this game? Because Steven Jackson had lost a baby just the month before in February.
Yep.
Checkmate, man.
Yes.
Whole game, yo.
Checkmate. Whole game.
I feel like Popovich just, he's that dude, man. Like, he can't be faded, and you either get down or lay down, man. Now, speaking of which, I would be remiss to not give props to Tony Parker in this series, because I felt like his play, was really what solidified the whole thing. I really am a big fan of, Conley Jr., man, but, he got outplayed, man. And it's not like Tony Parker's a scrub, but he got outplayed by, you know, one of the better point guards in the NBA. That was a big deal, especially when you throw in Zach Randolph could not handle a double team to save his life. And it really makes you wonder, how did they sweep the Spurs like, two years ago? Like, how did that happen? Were double teams different?
They weren't helping.
2 years ago? Or, you know, was Popovich just sitting around this year and was like, oh, wait a minute. Double team. You know, like,
did Rudy Gay play on that team 2 years ago? Yeah. I don't know if he played in that series.
He did play on that team 2 years ago.
But he was injured that year, I think.
Yeah, I want to say he was hurt that year.
But that's the same year too. You got to look at Ginobili and them weren't healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. The thing that killed Memphis, other than Zach Randolph not being able to jump over the sliding credit card or play solid pick and roll defense, like Popovich put him in pick and roll defense situations. Every possession, he knew he didn't want to go out there. And so Tony Parker was killing Mike Conley with that. But they knew that they didn't have outside shooting. And they didn't have a guy who could bail them out at the end of the shot clock. So even if they had Rudy Gay to go and shoot 40% with the rest of the team, the rest of the series, I think they still lose the series in six games. But I wish they were more competitive than they were.
Yeah, my thing was, what I think they missed, and I don't know if a lot of people even think about it, but I think OJ Mayo is what they missed. Like OJ Mayo might not be a great player, but he's a consummate professional. Like that's the one thing, every time I've seen him play in person, the one thing I've always taken away from him is that dude's a professional basketball player. Like he does fundamentally all the things I would require from a guy of his position. He's capable of having the good shooting nights. He's capable of making solid plays, and he never really takes his team out of a game. But it felt like they had nobody with confidence shooting that rock outside, and Mayo, I think, would have helped a bit.
I think that's an astute observation, Rod. O.J. Mayo has been a professional since he was in high school, even in college when he was taking money from Tim Floyd for a long time. And I think the guy who had the most confidence on their team was Quincy Pondexter, who right after the series was done, went on Twitter and started asking for a date, asked for who Miss Tennessee was. She popped up on Twitter and was like, yeah, I'm here and I'm single too. So Money struck when the irons were hot. Mm-hmm. He went and got his, you know, I'm not mad at him.
Well, so got the his white woman.
Something. He was still scoring after the series.
That's the kind of confidence you need, man, to get it done. Now, I can't move on from this series without bringing up this, though. I was giving props to Tony Parker earlier, and, you know, I definitely feel like the Spurs need props. It wasn't just the Grizzlies tanking. I think they had the Spurs had a superior strategy, and they executed better, down the stretch. But, this talk about Tony Parker being, you know, the best point guard in the NBA, the best point guard, for the last, you know, possibly 10 years. What do you guys think about that? And I actually start with Will this time, man. What do you think about the Tony Parker, you know, is the greatest talk?
He's not the best point guard in the league, but he's probably one of the most important. And I think the difference in that, statement is that if he played for another team, does Tony Parker do the same things that he does in San Antonio? Mm-hmm. I think he'd be effective. He's not the best point guard in the league. I think that because of the system and because of growing up with Pop and Manu and Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, for his whole career, I think that's made Tony Parker who he is. And that's not to take away from what he's done. But I think that he should get a tattoo, much like George Rod.
Mm-hmm.
But his shouldn't say the black guy who tips. It should be called Thank Me Later, because of the glassing that happened in that club in New York. I think his focus was heightened because he had to play with those goggles early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So he played way more effectively in the playoffs this year. And he knows that he has to carry this team because despite the fact that Tim Duncan is playing great and was first team All-NBA, they don't win a title or compete for the title without Tony Parker playing the way he did.
Yeah, and I guess it should say Thank Me Later, since Drake was the one that got an altercation. that started the whole thing. Also, my side note, my favorite moment of that series was when Mark Gasol accidentally hit Tony Parker in the eye a little bit on a follow through for a block, and Tony Parker's world just ended for a second because he was like, fuck this game, is my eye okay? Like, he had a flashback to Chris Brown and Drake probably throwing bottles at each other like chicks in the club, man. And he was like,
shots was gonna be fired.
Right. He was like, hold up now. This ain't a game. I had to pay a lot of money to get this eye. So Justin.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Both of y'all a question about that same thing, that play that Mark Gasol made. If it were, let's substitute, say, Roy Hibbert, who is killing the Heat right now, even though he didn't, you know, kill them in game 5. And LeBron James, or David West and LeBron James. And LeBron James helps David West up from the floor after he makes a play like that. Is there any chatter on that? Is any different than what, Mark Gasol and Tony Parker got? Because they were talking about Mark Gasol showing great sportsmanship by doing that. If it was someone else, would it have been the same?
Oh, so it's kind of like, Itwan, you know, if that was a nigga, would it have been, as celebrated? Here's the thing, for me anyway, I thought that was so overstated during the game. Cause he stayed there for a good 2 to 3 seconds, saw the dude wasn't dead, and then just went down the court. Like, he missed the play because the play happened so fast on the offensive side of the court, but it wasn't like, you know, he called over to the coaches and the guy needed a stretcher and he held his hand on the way to the locker room. It wasn't some, you know, it wasn't like, when Seabiscuit broke his leg or some shit. It was just a foul, and he asked the dude, are you straight? And then went down the court, and they turned it into like a really dramatic moment. I thought it was completely overstated, and I don't know what it would have been if it was like, you know what? If it would have been the Pacers Heat, they would have hyped it up to make it more of a fight type thing, because it seems like the whole point of that series, the whole narrative around it is, are these teams gonna fight? Justin, what you think though, man?
Actually, when I saw it, I was like, damn it, those are those same genes Pau Gasol has and why Pau is so
So they are brothers.
Yeah, I was like, because before that, you don't know. Like, looking at them, you're like, oh, they're not related. They just came over to the country together. They snuck. Somebody paid to sneak Mark in. Like, take him with you, please. You know what I mean? Like, it was that type of thing. But after I saw that, I was like, yeah, they brothers. He can't even help it. Like, he did it. He couldn't help it. Like, I'm sure every time Powell knocked him down, every time Mark knocked Powell down during their one-on-one games, he helped Powell up. Like, it's just in him.
Yeah, I just like this.
I have to disagree a little bit, only because I saw Mark Gasol, and I think that's Debo rubbing off on him. When he lost his shoe, and I think in the Dallas game, and he used his shoe to commit a foul, that's not something he would have done with Powell.
Yeah, he picking up from Debo, man. I also like how they just tried to turn it into, like, an action movie where your best friend dies and you have to do that thing where you talk to him until he passes out from death and dies. It just wasn't a big deal to me. And the fact they kept talking about it was just pissing me off. I'm like, they are losing. He needs to just, don't worry about that. Just get down the court, man. It's not the end of the world.
I wasn't in a hurry for him to get down the court either, because that's the last thing you want to do is run down court and have a 5-on-4 break. Yeah. And then no one get back to check Parker for two easy points to negate everything you just worked for.
That's a good point.
It didn't matter whether they were back on defense or not. Tony Parker was going to the saucepan whenever he wanted to.
Yeah, man. I got to give Parker credit. But like I said, he's one of those guys that, from my taste, I look at him in the same caliber I look at Dwayne Wade, where I can't really depend on his production. Like, if I penciled it down at the beginning of the night, I don't know which Tony Parker's showing up. The guy that's actually hitting his jumper and getting to the lane at will, or the guy that Popovich is trying to bench in the fourth quarter. I never know how his game's gonna go. And, I don't know. I think I'll never trust him until, like, after the buzzer beats goes over is when I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. He had a great game. So.
And one quick thing about Parker. I don't know if you noticed. It was either halftime or at the end of that final game. Did you see, was that his ex-wife he ran and hugged at the tunnel?
I don't know. I don't know. Do you think it was
Longoria?
Yeah, Longoria.
Mrs. X Parker? Yeah, I believe that was her in the tunnel. And I think that also attributes to a lot of his focus this year.
Maybe.
It might have been Brent Berry's wife that was.
Yeah, they favor each other, you know? Maybe he got confused.
And I was going to say, if that was her, you know, the fact that he's not out here being distracted by all these women, he's the opposite of Tiger. You know, with Tiger, the more women he has in his life, the better he can focus.
Right.
With Tony Parker, he just needs one woman to just go home to. Somebody, and you know.
Get his game back right. Yep. I see you, player. Now we got to talk about the second series, which is, probably the most entertaining series, but in its own way, it's kind of surprising. Pacers versus Heat. I thought that the Heat were, well, no, I didn't think they were. I wanted the Heat to sweep them because I'm really big on the fuck the people that hate LeBron James bandwagon. Everybody knows that. I don't pretend to be unbiased. So anything that pisses people off that occurs about LeBron James is something I'm a fan of. So I was hoping they would just sweep the Pacers and it wouldn't even be fun, but it's turned out for the better. We're getting more and more basketball because the Pacers are a quite competitive team. The series is now 3-2. The Heat won a pivotal game at home. And LeBron James went video game Genie James in the third quarter yesterday.
He was out there dancing like Cleveland LeBron.
So it was, it was exciting to see, man. Let me get your thoughts on this series. Justin, man, what do you think about the game so far?
I'm loving it. I'm so loving it. Like, it's looking like it could go 7 games, which is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. LeBron is playing great every game. So to continue, like you said, to give haters something just a little extra to put a little salt in their mouth. Mm-hmm. I love it, man. And like I said, even last night, he went, you know, back to dancing LeBron. And even when they showed him getting the game hype and coming back after the halftime, I was like, it was the first time I looked at LeBron and realized, you know what? He is not about any games anymore. Mm. Even though he won last year, he was having fun. he still had fun doing it. Not as much fun as he did in Cleveland, but he still had fun. And I think last night it showed his frustration. Like, you know what? I'm tired of doing all this shit by myself. I'm about to go out here and prove why I'm the best. But at the same time, y'all need to carry your weight. Check your man. Box out. Do the simple things. Get your rebounds.
The thing I noticed the most about the game is he took 26 shots. And that's a lot for LeBron. Yeah. And it's, with his shooting percentage being so high, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often where he just has the, man, fuck it, dog. Like, I'm not losing tonight, and you guys are going to have to keep up with me. But it was one of the first times where I really just saw that dude go, yeah, I got y'all. Don't worry about it. I got y'all this third quarter. Everybody can take a break. I'm about to go with LeBron James on these fools, get them out the game, and then we'll mop them up in the fourth. What do you think about it, Will?
You know, I like when LeBron shows that he has some dog in him. I like that. I think sometimes he tries too hard to please everybody. He knows he's the best player on the planet. Sometimes you have, you know, have to get your Neo on and like Mr. Anderson. You can't stop me. I stop bullets, yo. Mm-hmm. And if they wanted to post him up every possession, and I said this at halftime when they were down, that he's going to shoot 30 shots tonight. He has to in order for them to win. And it's sad that he has to do that because he has Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh who can't fall into three rebounds a game against Roy Hibbert. I don't get it. You make $18 million a year. Play some defense, grab a rebound. Stop being fucking soft, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the thing is, and I think you bring it up a lot, right? And I love that shit when you talk about, you know, all the LeBron hate. He's clearly the best player in the world, and we don't appreciate all the things he can do and what he does do on the court. If you say he's flopping, great, whatever. You don't flop your way into four MVPs.
Right.
If you say, you know, you don't flop your way into championships and being in the championship discussion for the next 10 years, if you want to be. So I watched the series, and I like the fact that it's been competitive, and I think that if the Heat had closed out these games, if Dwayne Wade had been anywhere close to 50% or played with any passion at all, if Chris Bosh had played with any passion at all, this would have been properly a sweep. And I like the Pacers. That's the funny part. I respect the Pacers. I picked the Heat in six games, and hopefully it looks like that when they finish them off on Saturday in Indy.
Yeah.
No, I don't want them to finish them off on Saturday.
You want a game seven?
I want a game seven.
Now, not because you want to see the Heat lose, but you just want more.
Right, I want seven
basketball games.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you know, which dog wins that fight.
Yeah, like a little bit of me feels selfish that way, where it's like, well, now that y'all didn't sweep them, more free basketball, please, you know. But
because after every game, like during the game, I'm excited, I'm pumped up, I'm like, yeah, did you see that move by LeBron? Look at him posting up now like a man. And then after the game, I feel just so drained and like, oh.
And it's not like, I think the finals don't start to the 6th of June no matter what,
right?
So it's like, yeah, you could sneak in a couple more games. Now I will say, for me, the biggest swing in this entire series is just the way guys are playing, the role players are playing at home for Miami, because Udonis Haslam is shooting like 90% at home. And you know, of course, everybody knows Birdman is hitting all his shots, but
Birdman
is way more effective at home, even with less minutes. He only played 18 minutes yesterday, but it's just like he'll make a couple more impact plays in a game, push a nigga down for no reason, and you go, okay, you know, this dude came to play tonight.
And for what little crowd is there, he gets them hyped up.
Yeah.
He has not missed a shot, it seems like, in a month, and he has the highest field goal percentages in NBA history in the playoffs.
It's crazy. Crazy, man. Like, and the other thing, too, that I have to say, man, I have to note it. Dwayne Wade keeps getting the biggest pass in the NBA, man. I every time I have a conversation about the Heat, I always end up getting this, whether it's the sideline at the YMCA or sitting around talking to my friends at a bar. I don't know why we keep acting like Dwayne Wade is a star. He's a role player now. He's a role player. And the reason I say he's a role player is because we as fans have lowered the bar of expectations so far that he can get 10 points in a game 6 where they really, in a game 5 where they really like need him, and it's a pivotal game. And we're going to talk about why Chris Bosh isn't stepping up. We're going to talk, like, if they would have lost, we would have been like, why didn't Bron hit that last shot? But Dwayne Wade is just Dwayne Fade. He fading away from all relevance, man. I've never really seen this happen before I really can't think if I've ever seen this happen before where we really just stop thinking a guy's a star, but we keep calling him a star. He no longer is. So, that's the biggest story of this series to me. It's been the biggest story of the Heat for the last year or two. I really think the success that they had came from when they said, all right, Dwayne, maybe you shoot 8 times a night because we're going to let LeBron shoot 26. And Dwayne Wade had to step back and go, cool, man, I could save my knees, you know? And the last thing, and I'll give it right back to you, Will, but the last thing is, y'all niggas going to have to stop talking about the league is rigged and Bron is getting all the calls. He shot 4 free throws yesterday. It's not even a matter of he gets all the calls. He fouled out the game before that. The dude is a superior player, point blank. Like, it's not just the Jordan doctrine where it's like, you can't be touching Michael Jordan on the hand. That's the money. He is more physical than the guy fouling him. When Roy Hibbert comes over to foul him, Roy Hibbert ends up on the ground. He's a phenomenon. He's a physical specimen. It's a completely different game. So don't just try to act like he's out here dribbling and every time he touches the ball, someone calls a foul for him. This isn't Kevin Durant with the up and under the arm move. This is a dude that's a grown man. And sometimes you have no choice but to foul a grown man, because if not, he'll score.
Weight room.
No doubt. And I don't even pay attention to those people who swear that the game is rigged somehow, that David Stern sits in an office in New York, like the Great Wizard of Oz or some shit, behind the curtain is like, all right, I got this shit on Smash. This is who's going to win this year. And this is going to happen. Every other play, I can script out the plays before they happen. Ask Clownery, yo. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I don't want to harm Edwards here, but you play to win the game. And they didn't play to lose the game. They didn't try to lose on purpose so they can stretch the 7 games. LeBron James, like Rod said, is the best player in the world. And if they were giving him superstar calls, then why Joey Crawford, of all people, he loves to inject himself in the game.
Yes.
Call that 6th foul against Lance Stephenson. I'm like, okay, really? Like, that's suspect. Even the one he said, you know, I thought I was straight up and down on Paul George. Paul George ran into him, didn't mm-hmm. reach. They blew the whistle, but whatever. It doesn't even matter now. It's just, you know, I like the LeBron hate. I'm a noted LeBron Stanley. I am.
Me too.
I respect what he does. And I love the way he plays, that he doesn't try to be Michael Jordan. And if people don't know what this term means, it's called legendary accretion. That means that the story gets bigger and bigger every time you tell it. After it's told the first time, Jordan was great, mm-hmm. but nobody remembers those, 13 for 37 nights that Jordan
right.
shot.
Right.
Nobody remembers those 9 for 29 nights, you know, that he helped the team.
The ghost of Michael Jordan is way better than Michael Jordan.
Word.
Yes.
Like, I had a dude tell me, cause I like to do this thing where after every time I forgot to do it last time, but after every time the Heat win, I like to say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan right now. And everybody gets mad because they assume by right now I'm talking about the totality of their legacies, when what I actually mean is 50-year-old Michael Jordan could not check LeBron James at 27, 28, whatever he is now. But the point being, I have people say the most ridiculous things. Like, one guy said, well, Michael, holler at me when Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan never lost in the finals. And I said, right. Did he only play 6 years? Because a loss in the finals is actually better than no finals at all. So right. He had a lot of no finals at all years. I'm not saying that that's a knock on him, like he's a bad guy, but you can't knock a dude for taking one of the worst NBA teams in the history of the NBA to the finals against the Spurs and losing. You can't knock that guy and then go, well, Jordan's second year in the league, he didn't even make the playoffs. What about that? It's like, well, hold up, bro. That's not better.
Right. Yeah. Word is born. Anybody who can take a team with Eric Snow as their point guard to the finals is a motherfucking genius, Joe.
Right. Jesse, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say too, man, you got to look at the level of competition LeBron's playing. He's beating everyone else during their prime.
Yeah, that's true too.
When Jordan won a lot of his rings, especially like the first three, he beat Clyde Drexler in his decline, like, you know, 2 years of retirement coming up. Mm. You know, Magic retiring the following year.
Bird retiring. Well, he's like, the thing is though, I feel like Bron ushered in his class and I feel like Jordan ushered in his class too. But they're both heads and shoulders above their peers, as far as that class. So it's not like any of these other dudes have much of a chance of beating them, but I can't move on without mentioning, getting y'all's opinion. Do y'all think Dwayne Wade walked at the end of game four?
No.
All right. Justin?
I don't even remember him being in the game.
Yeah. let me tell you something, dog. I played basketball, a lot of parks, a lot of gyms, and he fell victim to one of the number one rules in any informal basketball situation, which is that shit didn't look right. Now, I'm not saying it was a walk. Technically, it probably was not a walk. I've watched that shit like 75 times. In slow motion, it doesn't even look that bad. But in regular motion, there was like a little hitch in his giddy up on that step back. And I said, yo, man, that shit didn't look right. I don't know what it's called, but that's one of those times when you walk the other way with the basketball. And when the dude is like, but y'all didn't call walk. Right. They go, it was something. It was something.
I'll tell you this much. When you say it was something, 50 pounds ago, I used to be the master of the step back. And that move he did was legit to me. And it's not because I want the Heat to win. It was a bad call. I'm like, what are you calling? Then he dished the ball. He didn't even shoot it.
I think that's what made it look even worse was the fact that he was indecisive about his move.
Right.
And he hadn't touched the ball pretty much most of the game. Like, everything he did was kind of those last few minutes with him, everything was suspect.
I had no faith in that dude. Like, as soon as Bron went out, I had no faith in Wade to take over.
You know what? Every time it seemed like every time he touched the ball, it was going to be a turnover or something crazy. I was like, Lance Stevens was looking at him like, yo, dog, that's what I want to do next time down the floor. I want to turn that shit. Yo, he was wilding out, yo. I'm like, D-Wade, you're just giving the ball up like you're Lance Stevenson, yo.
You know what's crazy? One, I love Lance Stevenson's game because he plays like a dude that has always played on double rims and iron backboards. And I love that shit about him, but yeah, he's not all there and he's not all right and he's so inconsistent, but when he bullied the Knicks in that closeout game, man, I drank five shots of sake for that dude.
when you start calling him trick or treat because of the way he played, like, you don't know what you're going to get with this motherfucker, yo.
You don't know, man.
105.
I don't know. I can't, cause it's the same, you know, when you're playing the same team six times, you kind of hope that you get some kind of consistency. Like, okay, what you can depend on is rebounding or passing, whatever, defense. There's nothing you can depend on with Lance, dude. He might come out in game six in Indy and have 27 points, and I'll be just as shocked if he came out and had 3 points.
I would be. I could see him getting like 20 points and having like 10 turnovers all at the same time.
Dude is a cyclone of just energy, man. I love the dude, man, but yeah, it's bad.
He needs to get with Ron Artest and talk to Ron Artest people. Excuse me, Metta World Peace. No disrespect.
Yeah,
Metta World Peace people and get to that therapy, and you'll see a change in his game for the better, I guarantee you.
Metta thinks that Lance Stevenson is sane. So,
yeah, they speak the same language.
No doubt.
Brothers from another mother.
Hey, now what happens next year when Danny Granger comes back is the big question, right? Is Granger still there, but he's hurt, or? He just didn't play the whole year, right?
Danny Granger will be in Charlotte next year.
Right. He's got to be expendable, right? You don't need him. Paul George.
I think you do need him. And before, you know, we asked this question last week's show, about, you know, can Paul George, can he take it to the next level? And last night made me question it.
I told, man, I've been on the Paul George is Bobby Simmons 2.0 thing for a minute.
That's
so foul. No, it's no slight to the dude, man, but it's, I know when people want me to think somebody is better than what I'm seeing with my eyes. And it's a whole lot of like, hey man, Paul George is a star after he has a good game. And then when he has one of those like, 10 or 12 point games where he shot like 30% from the field, that all of a sudden everybody's just quiet like it didn't happen. I'm like, that's, if he was a real, listen, this is how you determine stardom in the NBA. It's not by your praise. It's by the criticism. The level of criticism and expectation that people have for these guys is what determines when you're a star. You're a star when people go, yeah, why the fuck did you lose that game? That's what you ask of a star. When you're just a guy that we all like and you can play good occasionally and we don't expect much from you, then we never go, wow, Dwayne Wade walked at the end of the game. We never say that shit for players that, aren't stars, man. So Paul George ain't a star until some people start being like, I noticed you ain't had no points in the fourth quarter. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I was very disappointed in those turnovers he had. The lack of give me the ball. Like, I'm the best shooter on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me the ball.
He disappears at times. And he's young. So it's not, I don't want to get stuck in that situation where a lot of people where they go, I said this about this dude 17 years ago. And then they just start looking for evidence for like every 15th game where they're not a good game, like Skip Bayless. I actually think he has the potential. I wouldn't call him a star yet. And they were definitely doing that, when they won that game in Miami. It was like, finally, LeBron James has some competition. I was like, what are y'all talking about? Let this dude.
It's one game. Let me live.
Right. Y'all gonna make me hate a dude for no reason. Stop.
And that's the thing. I wanted him to get back into that mode where, you know what? LeBron scored. I need to come down to score or at least attempt a shot. And he just disappeared during that stretch where LeBron just went off.
Dog, you ever seen a tornado up close?
He wasn't checking LeBron though.
You know why?
He seen that. He seen that tornado up close. It was like, so that's what it looked like.
Right.
I'm good.
I at least wanted to get a shot up.
Hey Lance, you want a garden?
Right.
I like that type of shit, right? And I'm gonna go play ball later on today. I like when I walk out on the court, as old as I am, out of shape as I am, I like to hear the dudes go, yo, you got him? I'll get him.
You talk about the non-switch offer where they saying one thing with their mouth, but their body language is like, I'm not checking that nigga.
Of course. Exactly what it is, but looking at Paul George and the Danny Granger situation, Granger's cost too much.
Yeah.
I think that, and I asked this question, the other day. Is Danny Granger really cheering for Paul George on the sideline? Like, really? Like, let's be real with it, dog. He knows whose team this is now.
Yeah,
that's
true.
He knows it's about Roy Hibbert. He knows it's about David West. He knows it's about Paul George. That's it. There's no room for old men in Indy anymore.
Yeah.
Get rid of West then. I hate his big, he's big
you,
for
you
nothing.
You hate David West, man.
He is big for nothing, man. He is.
Like David West.
Like then you gonna pump fake. Like why even buy your fish? You know you're not about to hit Mario Chalmers. You know what I mean?
Wait. David West is a killer, yo.
I can't believe it, man.
There's a reason, Justin, why they play basketball. It's because they can fight. So all that Timmy tough guy, it looks good on TV.
Right.
And it's funny that it's part of the game in the NHL when these the white guys are swinging and punching each other and they accept it. In the NBA, they had to do a dress code and try to stop it before it starts. Like guys are getting flagrant and there's more adjudication of pushing than there are fighting. Like guys don't even fight anymore.
Right. Yeah.
There's thugs in the NBA right now, but because Chris, Anderson pushed, Psycho T down, now you're going to get a flagrant. He pushed him. He didn't punch him. He didn't ball his fist. Nothing. And so I hate that part of the game right now. And as tough as guys try to be, and Rod said something about this earlier about how you know, everybody had this expectation that because of last year with the Heat and Pacers, there were going to be a lot of fights. What about the basketball?
Right.
I forgot about that part of it, but I get why you're saying that too.
Yeah, they want the narrative to be like, what are these dudes going to fight? Like, I'm watching good basketball, honestly. Like, nothing that has happened so far has made me feel like two people are going to fight. And I mean, all of it, even going back to Chicago when LeBron got pushed on the ground. I know what a fight looks like from playing so much basketball just recreationally. None of this shit looks like fighting words. It all looks like, hey man, don't push me while I'm in the air. All right. You go down the court. That's what you do.
Right. And that's why I'm like, he's big for nothing. Why even turn around and face Chalmers? Just run down court and try to get a rebound. He's not even getting big rebounds.
Now I will say this much. I do dislike David West a little bit, but it's only because he does this thing where, on every shot he does make, he complains about he got and one. And it's like, nigga, you can't get all the and ones. Like, it's kind of like spirit of the rule. Spirit of the game. Like, if the shot goes in and it wasn't some type of blatant contact, they're not going to call that shit. And sometimes he just does a good move and it'll go in. You're like, that's a good move, big man. And then he just looks at the ref like, no and one. I was like, no, nigga, it's just a good move. Sometimes you do good moves.
That's some Carlos Boozer shit. Every possession, this bitch is yelling. I can't stand Carlos Boozer. I stopped calling him Vagisil 5 this past year.
I call him that Duke player.
Vagisil 5? Oh, man.
I mean, that's his number, but this motherfucker's a douche, yo, and I can't stand him on the court at all. Carlos Boozer sucks to me, but I don't know why I'm giving him shade right now. He's not even in the playoffs.
Now, let me ask you.
Now, they favor each other a little bit. Plus, anytime you're a power forward and your go-to move is a jump shot, you're going to catch some slack, man. Chris Bosh catching it. All the finesse power forwards catch slack, man.
No doubt.
That's why Tim Duncan going, when they face the Heat in the finals, Tim going to have a field day down low, man. They're going to have to put LeBron on Tim Duncan.
They might have to, man. Shit. Anyway, let me do some quick recap of the NBA coaching carousel. The Atlanta Hawks hired Mike Budenholzer. He was a visible assistant to Greg Popovich. So never been a head coach before. That's interesting. The Bobcats got Steve Clifford, who, is also assistant. Where was he assistant at? It was like
LA.
Yeah, the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was an assistant there. And then Jeff Hornacek got a head coaching job in Phoenix. And I got to say, man, it's cool to see some new blood getting opportunities in the NBA, at least getting a shot. Normally I would bitch about the fact that it wasn't no brothers, but I'm actually okay with this just because it's three people that I've never seen get a job before. And more sorry teams need to do that. Like, instead of going like, we need to get Byron Scott in here right now, it's like, but that, are you sure you want to do that? You know what I mean? That dude's been fired just as many times as he's been hired, right? Like, every 3 years seem like we're having the Byron Scott getting fired again conversation. Why don't y'all go with someone new?
Byron Scott is probably going to get that Clippers job.
Yeah.
Because of his relationship with Chris Paul from when they were in New Orleans. And the fact that he took two very similar looking teams like the Clippers look right now to the NBA finals, in New Jersey with Jason Kidd at the point and Kenyon Martin as their like star power forward. If you look at the Clippers, they have Blake and they have CP3, and I can see him being the front runner in, LA, but these other guys like, and go ahead and get mad because brothers like, Brian Shaw, who has rings and has been on several very good benches, behind good coaches, or Mario Elie, who has rings, like those type of guys make the best coaches because right. They didn't play that much. Or when they did play, they were key contributors. So you look at like a guy like Elie, who was a great role player for Houston, or a Brian Shaw, who's great for LA. They don't get a chance. Even like a blue, Aaron McKee, in Philadelphia. I thought that they would get a look, and they have it, and it's kind of disappointing to me, but whatever. Yeah. I know that the last Greg Popovich, disciple, and Mike Brown is collecting checks everywhere. He can't win shit.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is it's not as bad. I would be more upset if it was like Mike Fratello's coaching the Bobcats. Then, you know, like it's three new white dudes. So I'm like, all right, let's see what these dudes can do, you know, as opposed to three retreads. So I think that's why I'm good with it. But, and then the other thing is I keep hearing about Brian Shaw is that Brian Shaw knows he's worth money. And he just ain't cashing in his ticket yet. Cause I know other, like, the Bobcats approached him like last year and he was like, for that money? Shit, I'll be an assistant and told him no. So he seems like he knows his worth.
I don't blame him with the Bobcats, man.
Can you blame? I don't blame him with Milwaukee. I don't blame him with, like, the word on the streets is that the people that are getting these jobs, over Brian Shaw are also taking less money than what he's demanding. So, if that's the case, man, hey, hold out to get your paper, player. I get it.
I thought it was him at one point. Like, I thought at one point, I was like, well, why is it? Because I feel like he would be a great coach.
Yeah, he seems like it to me.
I feel like.
I thought he would be good in Orlando, especially with what they have on the horizon. Yep. Those young guys they have down there, he would be good for them. See, Jock Vaughn got a job, dog. The same thing I said about the other coaches he played on a championship team in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. He studied under Pop. So, you know, why are these guys, and I know that Pop has won, you know, four championships since 99, whatever the case might be, but Brian Shaw and those guys are credible and legit, and I think they should get a chance as well.
I agree. Well, you gonna say something else, Justin?
Nah, he kind of summed it up. Just, I think Brian Shaw is an asshole. That's why he's not getting these jobs.
I'm gonna just act like we covered this because I felt like, Will kind of did and it was the perfect segue, but Chris Paul is mad at the Clippers because they let it leak that he was the guy who got, Vinny Del Negro fired. But I feel like it wasn't a big deal because it's not like anyone was like, oh my God, Vinny Del Negro got fired. We all know that in Obama's economy, a lot of Negroes are losing their jobs. So you can't even be upset at that or shocked. So, I think it's false anger to make sure that he gets that proper contract number. And that's about it. He's not, I don't think he's going anywhere.
It's not even a matter of contracts because of the CBA, it's a set number.
Yeah.
So no matter
okay.
what it is, it's set. But here's the deal, and we talked about Byron Scott being Chris Paul, like they're close or whatever the case might be. Chris Paul has gotten the biggest pass this offseason for not telling people where he's going to go. Like,
oh, yeah.
They don't do him like they do Dwight, and they're both in L.A.
Yeah, or Bron or Melo. That's a good point.
Because he's not a star. He's not a star.
I've been saying this shit for years. Chris Paul is, we all hold him to a much lower bar than any of the other stars, quote unquote. And I'm talking like Kevin Durant, Melo, Derrick Rose. I'm not even saying like it's LeBron. I'm saying like this tier two stars. He gets like a level below that of expectation. We don't call him a choker. We don't talk about his lack of success in the postseason. It's just like we all like Chris Paul for some weird ass reason.
Cause he went to Wake Forest with Tim Duncan.
Go ahead, man.
No, I was just gonna say because he went to Wake Forest with Tim Duncan.
He was there when Justin Gray was there. So,
but that's... I'll say the same university.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's
so
not,
Wake Forest Negroes don't count.
He's right, exactly. You're from North Carolina, but I don't know if you've ever been to the school.
I've never been to Wake Forest.
Seen it. It's it will remind you. Think you see a lot of Carlos Boozers or. Or Shane Battier's.
Oh, shit.
On the university. And so that's why Tim Duncan fit in very well at that university.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't know it was a culture thing, man. What were you going to say, Will?
No, I just think that, you know, the fact of the matter is that I don't have a problem with the man playing his cards close to the vest. But if you know that, or why don't you just come out and say, you know what? I knew they were going to fire Vinny. I like to have a hand in personnel decisions, but you know, whatever they choose to do, I'm cool with that. I like to stay in LA, but you know, I'm a free agent. Nobody, he's not going to leave 30 bills on the table, just to go and play in Atlanta with Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. Or if Dwight chooses to go to Houston or Golden State where he could end up, Chris Paul stays in Clipperland. And because Blake and DeAndre are so like upset that Chris, they don't like the way that Chris Paul gets on them sometimes. They think that Chauncey is the better in dealing with them. I'm like, y'all should shut your asses up, because the only reason that DeAndre got his check was because of Chris Paul.
Right.
That's it. So if these guys can find the right coach, if Chris Paul decides to stay there and they get some more shooting on the outside and they get a little younger on the perimeter, because Bledsoe's not staying.
Yeah.
Bledsoe's out of there. They have to figure out what they're going to do. But I've been so surprised by Chris Paul and the fact that he hasn't gotten the heat that Dwight has gotten for not telling, you know, hey, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be a part of this team moving forward, whoever they bring in as a coach.
Yeah, that's a good point, man, especially in a situation like that, because that's not a team that people consider to, you know, to be on the decline. Most people consider them still on the way up. So it would be a major signing to just get that locked down immediately and go, hey, I'm staying, guys. I will be a Clipper for the next however many years. So let's just keep working towards our goals. But yeah, it's weird that the media just is not picking up on that. Maybe they will after the playoffs. Speaking of the media picking up on things, Houston Rockets are now pursuing Dwight Howard. Apparently a lot of teams are looking at him. Dallas Mavericks, of course, the Lakers. Maybe this will be the most controversial thing I say all day, man, but Dwight Howard is a bad bitch that don't give head and won't cook. Like, I do not get why the fuck, everybody, like everyone disses this dude and downs him all year. You know, and we all kind of been like, yeah, he's just not the guy that we think he is. He's making superstar money, but he's not really giving superstar production, and you can't depend on him in key situations. To me, it seems like the Lakers are the only team that really would have a stake in, like, we have to have this guy. But like clockwork, man, you see the Dallas Mavericks, you know, Mark Cuban's trying to open up the piggy bank. The Rockets are trying to open up the piggy bank. I feel like they're just going to get the same limitations and problems that he had in L.A. and in Orlando to a lesser extent. I think they're just picking him up and moving him to Houston or Dallas or wherever he goes. So what do you guys think about Dwight Howard's potential free agency? I'll start with Justin this time.
Ironically, you know, when the Lakers drafted Dwight, I was geeked up. I mean, not drafted, but when they traded for him, I was geeked up because I was like, finally, we can get rid of Bynum, who plays 20 games a year. And anything Dwight would have done is better than no games.
Yeah, he was obviously an improvement for LA. But, and I feel like that's the only team that really has a true stake in, like, we have to have this guy. But go ahead.
But I think it would be beneficial if they were to get rid of him, and actually spend that money, whether it's on another trade or getting another young guy that can fit into the system. Mm-hmm. Especially since they're going to keep D'Antoni as a coach.
So maybe Danny Granger?
Yep, they can go get him.
Oh, yeah, I just threw that out. I just threw that out there as a joke.
They can go get
him. No, but you know what? That would be good, especially if they can get Brandon Jennings, who's from L.A., to come and run the point. Steve Nash is not a starting point guard anymore.
Oh, God, he is so nice.
If they can clean up, because you know why Steve Nash is not a starting point guard anymore. He has to hide that money from his ex-wife, who's trying to come to Cali, get a child support check.
Mm, mm-hmm.
They're going to be on Maury soon. Trust me. But
I'm not their baby's daddy.
No doubt. But I can see Brandon Jennings being there along with Danny Granger. They get younger. They get faster. If they don't get Dwight, they have some options. They're looking to eat the luxury tax anyway. So,
right.
Yep. They can get Chris Paul.
That's a good call. Now, I don't think he's going to move across the hallway. I can't see it.
Yeah, I don't, like, I say amnesty Dwight. Like, man, just.
His money talks.
Yeah. Like, my thing is, anytime some, that's why I could never be an NBA GM, because anytime shit wasn't working out with me, I'd just be like, yo, amnesty that nigga, man. Like, it's like, but we got so much other stuff we could do. We could sign a trade. Nah, man, amnesty the fuck out of him. I'm so tired of looking at this dude.
See, but that's why I feel like Chris Paul can go across the hall, because other than LeBron, nobody else is taking less money. And LeBron, him taking less money in Miami was an anomaly. He's going to get his on the back end anyway from endorsements and trying to, oh, he's a nice guy type of thing.
Yeah.
Rod, say what you were saying about LeBron and the money, though. You said that. I saw you say that on Twitter before, and I was like, church, you're right.
It is impossible to pay LeBron James what he's worth with a salary cap in the NBA. And possibly without a salary cap, but definitely with the salary cap, you cannot pay him what he's actually worth to any team. And he was right when he said it. And people always get mad when someone, especially a black man, knows his worth. Like, anytime you just say like, yeah, he's taking a pay cut by his nature of just, the fact that there's a CBA and he's in the players union. 'Cause he's that level of talented. And if you really had to pay him what he was worth with the salary cap, it'd be him, Andy from accounting, me, Justin, Will probably start at center. Like,
we'll get buckets though.
You know, I'm like, we'll be out there losing. You know what I mean? But Bron, that would be what it would look like to pay LeBron James what he's worth. So, and from what I've seen, he's probably the only player like that right now. Maybe there might be a couple others. But I don't even know if the other dudes had a star power that is like league motivating. Like, this shit, it sells the league, it sells TV. Even hating him is an industry at this point. It's phenomenal what he's able to do, man. All right, let's talk about some other news. The NFL started their OTAs and shit, and since everybody was starting OTAs, Adrian Peterson started his OT gays, because he is not with that shit, man, apparently. He was in an interview, and you know how it is when you're interviewing a football player. Sometimes you need to find out what his views on same-sex marriage are, you know? How many yards you plan on getting? How's your off-season rehab going? And what do you think about two dudes kissing? So, we talked about this the first show we had. Chris Cluey, got cut, but we kind of came to the conclusion it's because he was one of the highest paid punters in the league, and who the fuck gonna pay that dude to kick the punt? You know, like, so they let him go, but he's also an outspoken advocate for gay marriage and marriage equality. So a lot of people were like, well, could it be some sort of discrimination? And it's like, discriminating against that check, maybe, but we don't think they're actually discriminating against him. And that came up in this interview where they talked to him about Chris Cluey and was he a distraction, since he was an outspoken supporter of gay marriage. And Adrian Peterson, instead of saying no comment, was like, I have relatives who are gay. I'm not biased towards them. I still treat them the same. I love them. But again, I'm not with that. That's not something I believe in, but to each his own. I believe someone said that, who was it? We had someone on as a guest who said that Minnesota is actually a pretty progressive city. Like, despite, you know, what we might think about it, those of us who are ignorant about the locales and all that stuff, very progressive city. So maybe his comments might not play too well in his home market, but I feel like most people probably treat this either as a non-issue, and a lot of people actually just agree exactly with that. Like, there's a lot of people who feel like, I won't stop you from being gay, but I ain't gotta like it. And that's basically what his philosophy was. So what do you guys think about it? I'll go with Will first this time.
It's clear that, Minneapolis, Minnesota is a very, very progressive place, because for years they've allowed Prince to walk around with tight ass pants and 6-inch heels on. So.
Yeah, that was actually, I think the joke I made was something like, any place where Prince gets the most pussy, it's gotta be progressive.
Yeah, you can't knock that. But I think that he loses either way, because he says no comment, he gets the default, oh, you don't like gay people. Even though he didn't say anything. Right away it's like, oh, well, you're not in line with what everybody's thinking today, and talking about progress and acceptance and tolerance and all that. So you must be, you know, a homophobe just because you said no comment. So he's going to get either the default treatment or when he said what he said, which is, if you ask me my opinion and then I give it and you don't like it, don't fucking ask me my opinion. You know, so I don't think he's wrong either way. I think that by him saying, you know what, I have people and family members who are gay and I love them, I'm just not down for what they're down for, it should be fine. I don't see there should be any backlash for what he said.
No, I totally agree with you. I feel like, you know, if you ask a man his opinion, he's entitled to give you that opinion. And the fact that he's kind of like the Teflon Don of the NFL, after being Roethlisberger. he can pretty much say what he wants to say as long as outside of, you know, I plan on raping and pillaging the community. And they're not going to stick. It's not going to stick and come out in a negative way. Like his former teammate, where they'll be talking about cutting him and probably kicking him out of the NFL.
That's true too. Yeah. What are they going to do? Cut him? Like, and
right.
Like, so that's really, like, honestly, he could be in this, interview like, look, man, I think Hitler had a point. See, the problem with Jews is, and you still gonna look at those stats and be like, hey, man, we'll make it work. We gotta make this work.
Yeah, just if they ask you again, just be like, you know, I already addressed that, and I'm ready to move forward.
Yeah, and like, I was kind of saying how, to me, I always feel like, that opinion is the reason that we're in America, it's going to be a little bit longer till we actually have like federal marriage equality and all this stuff. It's because there's a lot of people who are like, hey, man, I love you, but I don't believe in you having these rights and shit. And I was like, he represents most people. If he was a politician, a ton of people would be like outraged, but he's on my fantasy team. So what can I say? You know, I need these points.
The thing about the people that would be upset about it though, are typically the people that are actually gay. Because everyone else was standing in line trying to get Chick-fil-A. when they decided against, you know, homosexuality. So,
well, there's a lot of, that's the thing though. There's a lot of people that, like politically and stuff, have these like causes that they aren't gay or anything, but these are like, you know, a cause. It's a big cause for Democrats, but they also don't really follow football. Like those worlds don't collide. And, the only thing I was kind of like a little miffed with was people were telling me like, well, he's just a football player, so it shouldn't matter what he thinks. I was like, I don't think like that. Like, there's a lot of intelligent fucking football. You're just being a football player does not mean you're stupid, and it doesn't mean your opinion doesn't matter. I love when athletes talk about social issues. It's one of the most, it's one of the ways to open up other people's eyes, and it's what, one of the best ways to spread awareness is a guy being like, oh, what about this thing? Cause people will actually pay attention to it. So, you know, I'm not, I don't agree with the dude, but at the same time, I'm not, gonna act like, well, no one should say anything because he's an NFL player. Like, fuck you, man. That's some real fucked up shit to say. People following you on Twitter, you probably work at Safeway or some shit.
No, so shit. I say that about people who try to diss construction workers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're a dumbass. If they gave you some blueprints and a hammer, you couldn't figure out how to build that shit they just built.
Right.
Yep.
But you're trying to tell me he's stupid? You're stupid for even thinking that dumb shit. Get out of my fucking face, yo.
Give me a chance. Give a man a chance to prove he's stupid is all I ask. I will ride with you on. I love talking about stupid people, but you got to give him a chance.
Let's fight for their equality as well.
Yeah.
They need that love too.
Stupid equality. I like it. Dwight Freeney said that he believes the owner. This seems like the yearly tradition of the NFL, but. He thinks in the free agency market, the owners had a pact where they were going to not allow, player salaries to get out of control. So they basically secretly decided how much money they would spend on free agents. So, I mean, it's unprovable as of yet, but, interesting. Noted. Just had to throw that out there. I don't really have many thoughts on it. In other obvious news that you already knew, Titus Young apparently is suffering from mental illness, according to his father. So
you don't say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, Son is coming out tomorrow. Son is coming out tomorrow on the news. Michigan. This is, I love white people that do this, right? Okay, so Frank Beckman went to Detroit News, and he's a radio host and a University of Michigan football announcer, and he's like, let me weigh in on Sergio Garcia's fried chicken comments. Okay, it's a slow sports day, and some this I need to get my point of view out there. So he goes on the radio, he's talking about it, and his argument was that people shouldn't be upset with Sergio Garcia, because even though he said something that was really racist, he's not from America, so he might not know the history of the racism and the fried chicken and black people joke, so it shouldn't be offensive to black people. And also, to add on to this, black people should actually celebrate fried chicken anyway, because our slave ancestors were able to stay alive by eating it, since Massa rarely shared his ham. So really love the double down, man.
So I'm gonna start turning up by getting some fried chicken then on Fridays. Instead of alcohol, I'm turning up with chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Thanks.
Excuses they tried to make for this cat that he didn't know, you know, the history of the United States and the sensitivities around stuff like that is amazing to me, when he's from Spain. And I remember the Spanish 2008 men's Olympic basketball team taking a group photo together, slanting their eyes, like pulling their eyes to the side, because they were going to Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
But they would know enough about Beijing and I guess history, you know, that's not racist at all.
Yeah,
they just thought they were paying homage to the people that they were going to play basketball or play in front of in Beijing, China. So I can see Sergio Garcia's point to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's the I didn't know I couldn't do that defense, where we can't prove you didn't know you couldn't do that. But I'll say this much. The fried chicken joke is one of those, like, nigga, you knew something. Like, whether you heard it from another golfer, what I really feel like, and I didn't say it last week, but I feel like there's this entire culture of like racial discrimination and prejudice throughout golf. And this is what they say about Tiger Woods behind his back, like his peers.
Say it to his face.
I don't think they say it to his face. I honestly don't, cause he's happens to also be the best. So I think they huddle up, you know, behind his back, and they talk shit about him openly, like amongst each other. And it's become such a part of their culture that even a motherfucker that isn't even from here and doesn't even know the origin or the reference to the joke thinks that that's a thing you say to insult Tiger Woods.
But see,
this motherfucker had said, I'll be having the duck with Tiger Woods, there's no conversation.
Yeah, right.
You know, they pointed the menu. Well, Tiger eats duck, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
So, if you'll be like, put some duck sauce on it, everybody be like, hold up, man. Now see.
One word changes the whole shit,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But chicken, everybody loves chicken.
See, I think they do say it to a face. And I think that correlates to why Tiger doesn't fool with anybody else in the golfing industry.
I feel like he knows, but it's also that thing where it's like with Kobe, where you're an aloof personality and people don't realize it, but a lot of times they have insecurity and inferiority complexes about it. So they want you to be their friend, but at the same time, they're scared to be your friend. And the thing that would really, legitimize many of these guys and actually foster a relationship between Tiger and those people is if he would recognize them as peers and just, you know, a simple conversation or two. Cause at the end of the day, I remember one of the quotes we read was the guy being like, you know, he doesn't talk to me and shit like that. And I was like, that's where all of this comes from. I've had this issue my whole life, where people would act weirdly towards me. And then I realized, oh yes, they just want to be my friend. And I really feel like no matter how grown you get, this is just like a childish, part of our makeup that a lot of people can't ever get over. Justin, you've experienced it with Chase.
Oh,
when
definitely.
We go play basketball, that dude fucking hates you. You've never done anything to him. It's clear. And whenever you're not around, he always asks me about you. It's clearly an inferiority complex where he wants you to just be his friend, like we're friends, and he can't figure out how to do it. And at some point it turned into hate. And I feel like that's what happens with all these fucking white golfers. When this nigga keeps beating him, it's like, yo, man, that fried chicken, big lip. Here he come. What's up, Tiger? Hey, buddy. You gonna get some practice in? All right, good, man. Yeah, man. So like I was saying, that jigaboo, you know, that's what I feel is happening.
You know what? That shit sounds like, I think you make a great point about, self-esteem and fear and, you know, people wanting to be friends. You can find a lot of people on Twitter, and I think Twitter is like high school to me. I look at Twitter and how some people have their, you know, whole life and self-esteem, and I guess goals wrapped up in Twitter mentions. Mm. Like, I'm like, really, dog? Like, if somebody doesn't respond to your tweet, you're like lost for the day.
Right.
I'm serious. I know a lot of cats that are like that, and that's where the aloofness comes in. Like, okay, so I can see that happening because you're in a group of people that you think you have a common bond with, whoever's on your TL for some reason or right. another who follows you. And because they don't respond in a certain way that you expect, that your whole shit is shaken because they don't look at things the same way you'd look at them all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly.
Team, follow back.
There's people hopefully it's died down some, but I know people hit people up and just go, can you retweet me? There's nothing.
Right.
There's nothing to that other than, and then like the person, you know, either doesn't or they like say something funny back to them or whatever. And half the time you're talking to a person that's funny anyway, which is why you're doing it. And they say something funny back and it's like, man, fuck that motherfucker, man. I can't believe he disrespect me not retweeting. It's like, what is wrong with you, man? Like, get out the house a little bit. Get some breath, man.
If they offered chicken on Twitter, I think we'd all be a happier place.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to start throwing that in everything now is whatever racially inappropriate food for someone's nationality or race. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, I don't know, man. If Giuliani just had some damn spaghetti, we probably could figure this out. Like, what? Where did that come from? So a NASCAR driver got found with 7 stolen vehicles that belonged to his rival.
Nice.
Mike Harmon, driver in NASCAR's Nationwide Series and Truck Series, might be in a bit of trouble. He was found with 5 racing trucks and 2 racing cars apparently belonging to his former business associate, the same one he allegedly stole a trailer from 2 weeks ago, which led to his arrest.
Man, he pulled
no dots to connect here. There are no dots to connect.
He's just pulling the OJ, man. He's just going back to get his own stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I do feel like at the heart of this, if you talk to Harmon, there's some sort of conflict of ownership. Like, he don't agree that those don't belong to him.
Like, 2 weeks ago, he been stealing stuff for years. It's like, dog, that's my stuff. I let him borrow it.
Especially if they used to be business partners. You know, he's probably like, nigga, I bought the 5 cars and the trucks now.
Yeah.
Like, I know that much. I bet you them trucks will be in my garage next week.
And you know what? I think a lot of this started really over somebody borrowing a power drill or something. and not bringing it back. Yeah. Yep. I'm dead serious.
Bringing it back with some fuck that like, hey man, what'd you do to my tire drill? And it's like,
he didn't bring it back.
Cause otherwise, who snitched? Who snitched in his camp to be like, yo, he got them cars up in his, at his house, man.
Hey man, this shit had 5 different adjustable bolt heads last week. Guys only got 3?
Yeah. Like otherwise, who snitched in his camp though?
Well, his truck series driver, Jennifer Joe Cobb. Sorry, don't let me leave that out for NASCAR. Jennifer Joe Cobb had a falling out last year, particularly acrimonious one that still caught up in litigation earlier this month. Cobb's hauler disappeared just before a race. Damn, right before the race? What kind of fucking Pee Wee Herman antics is that?
Man, he just pulling pranks, man.
That's just a prank. That's fucked up.
It's like, gotcha, bitch.
He took it right before the race. That's so vindictive, dude.
They probably fell out because she wouldn't swallow.
Oh, man. See, I don't know if it was sexual or not. She told the police that Harmon had taken it. He denied it, but was arrested on felony larceny and breaking and entering charges. Fast forward to Tuesday, deputies executed a search warrant and seized 7 vehicles found at his shop in Mooresville at a storage shed he owns. Investigators believe all 7 belong to Cobb. They will soon meet with the district attorney to determine if and when further charges will be filed. Jesus, man. NASCAR. So you know,
guess the race.
Right.
Well, let's be clear, and there's something we do sometimes on All Balls Don't Bounce called, we have a cool crew of black people who love NASCAR.
Yeah.
Which is funny to me. And they hashtag rampant black redneckery all the time when we talk about NASCAR. But there are no black people in this one, so I didn't know how to hashtag this one.
I think it's just rampant redneckery at this point. We got to talk about a little bit of boxing.
Yes, sir.
First things first, Floyd Mayweather is going to fight Canelo. That's he announced his next opponent. I love that he trolled Twitter with it because he was like, big news, y'all. The fight y'all all been waiting for. The fans want to see. Everybody's like, he's going to fight who? Canelo. Oh, I thought it was going to be Manny, who is no longer afraid of needles. So they should be able to get that fight on. But apparently he's going to fight Canelo, which all my friends that are really into boxing have been saying is the fight that he should take and / could be afraid of, you know, instead of the Manny fight. Now that Manny's gotten knocked out of, you know, now that that happened, it's no longer the biggest fight. I feel like, you know, without knowing much about Canelo, I'm just going to throw this out there. I feel like Floyd's going to whoop his ass, and then all of a sudden Canelo's going to go back and retroactively never be considered good. Because after Floyd beat somebody, they either too old, too young, too slow, and they don't count as a real opponent anymore. So I feel bad for this dude. But after he loses, everybody's going to disrespect him. What do you think about it, Will? You follow boxing more than I do.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan. I'm Floyd Mayweather Stanley, too, because like LeBron, he's the best I've ever seen in the ring in my life. The mid-fight adjustments he makes, he fights so smart, right? And Canelo still has Similac on his breath, so he's not going to be able to fight Floyd Mayweather. And the funny part about those same people you talked about, Rod, that are saying, oh, he's too slow, or he's too old, or he didn't fight a guy in his prime, they make it seem like Floyd, or time stands still, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
He's 36 fucking years old, yo. He's way outside of his prime, and he's still beating motherfuckers like he was 22 or 26.
And it's not like he takes a fight every 5 years. I mean, the brothers stay fighting.
Yep. Right.
Every 6 months.
The whole thing that, you know, he waited until Manny got out of his prime. He's older than Manny. What are you talking about? Or that any man who for a living goes and takes blows to the head and the body to make money can't be scared to step in the ring with anyone.
Exactly.
There's a certain fear and anticipation that something bad could happen, but you go into it when you decide to be a pro boxer, knowing that in the first place. Mm-hmm. So nobody's afraid of Manny Pacquiao. Nobody's afraid of Canelo Alvarez. You can't hit what you can't see. And Floyd Mayweather, who hadn't fought in a year, comes back and makes Robert Guerrero really look like the ghost because Son couldn't hit him, and somehow this ass clown comes out after the fight and says, Guerrero does, oh, well, when Floyd felt the power, he started to run. I guess he was running as he was hitting you in the face with his overhand rights all night. Fucking clown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get people like that who get beat up, clearly get beat up and say, oh, the reason he ran is because he felt the power. At what point did he feel the power?
Well, you're passionate about your boxing.
Well, I can
hear it in your tone. I can tell in your tone. You got a little passion.
You know what else it is, though, is I wouldn't be so frustrating if people would stick to one story. Like, I wouldn't mind the people who said, everybody that Floyd fights is a bum, and no matter what happens, he will always beat them because he never fights anybody. I would be cool with that, even though I disagree. I would also be cool with the people who are like, yo, every dude he fights is a beast and gonna knock him out. and somehow he keeps winning, but I believe the next dude's gonna knock him out too. But all those dudes were great. I would be okay with that. But what we get is this weird ass, this dude is gonna beat Floyd's ass. I'm telling you, put all your money on Canelo. It's a sure fucking thing. And then Floyd whoops that dude's ass and it's like, yo man, that dude wasn't never shit. You know, he was scared. He got out there. He wasn't right. I'm like, man, come on. We can't have it both. The dudes can't be that good.
Tell him what you tell him about the just like the LeBron hate, the Floyd Mayweather hate. Just because they hate Floyd, what's not going to happen?
It's not going to make the other dude better. Like, it's not going to make it. You hating Floyd will not knock him out.
Right.
It's impossible. Your hate just, I don't know how people get by on hating people in sports so much. I don't know. It must be some type of something to it that I'm missing, because Lord knows I cannot hate these people I don't know this much.
It's those that can't. And because you're an athlete, you can kind of relate to Floyd.
I don't know, man. You know
what it is? I'll tell you the truth. And we talked about this before too. We love our winners, especially when they lose. Like, Floyd becomes more lovable to them. You might be like, see, bitch, that's what you get for being so cocky. Mm-hmm. But at least you're down here with the rest of us.
Ah.
Motherfuckers. So we love our winners, especially when they lose. You know, they say that about Serena Williams. Or they say that, you know, and they, even LeBron, for some odd reason, you hated him in 2011, but you loved him in 2012.
Yeah, that's deep, man. Hey.
That shit.
Now my other boxing story, this is a little different, because it kind of crosses over into the Blackout Tips land, and I saved this story just for this episode, but, a boxer who kidnapped a man in a terrifying 2-day ordeal never got over a career crushing injury, according to a friend and former world champion Alex Arthur. Fundo Mura. And that's M-H-U-R-A. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. he handcuffed his business associate Ricardo Cardin, one of those three, threatening him with a samurai sword. And if sword ratchetness wasn't enough, dirty hypodermic syringes in a dispute over money. Dude, what the fuck?
I can't even say anything, Rod.
Dude, it's crossing over into boxing. You got a man who probably has fists that are registered weapons who was like, nah, I'm going to go get a sword and dirty syringes. Like, he thought about this shit. Mr. Cerdan was so scared, he asked for his last rites and even offered to hang himself using the gym's ropes in Mr. Murr's West Lothian home to end the ordeal. So he had this dude so shook. He said, man, can you just pray and give me my last rites and then I'll hang myself and kill myself? You don't even got to do nothing. I don't want to get stuck with that needle or that sword.
And these sword owners getting out of control. Well, I hope you don't own any swords.
No, I don't. But, you know, I would call Willie Dennis down in Houston because he lives by the sword.
Yeah. He finally escaped by diving out of the living room window and pleaded help from a postman.
What the mailman gonna do?
I don't know.
He was looking for Charles Ramsey, yo.
Yeah. I was eating my Big Mac, meet my McDonald's. Mahura is of Kames Crescent, Kirk Newtown. He admitted to the abduction, assault, and robbery in high court yesterday. Malawi born Mahura grew up in Scotland and joined Leith Victoria Boxing Club. He won bronze in 2006 European Amateur Boxing Championships. But yeah, apparently he fell on hard times and
he didn't really want any money, because if you want money, you take him to the ATM, not your house.
Well, he's crazy. If a motherfucker owned a sword, I've never read one of these articles and been like, oh, and then, okay, it makes sense now because this is what happened. Like, it's never that moment with any of these articles. It's always like, he had a sword and then crazy, crazy shit happens. So,
right.
All right. We covered this story too in our first week and it's coming back. Mario Williams.
My nigga, NC State graduate.
Still ain't got his $785,000 engagement ring back. So his girlfriend, the girl who I would say is about a 5 or 4 on a scale of 10, she ended up releasing a series of text messages from him. Among them were, this is from him now to her, "I took 3 hydrocodones this morning and no one knows. I'm going to take 2 more on the plane and fade away."
Say it ain't so.
"No money in the world should leave me with suicidal thoughts, and I need to go back in my shell. There's no telling what I'll do to myself at this point. I'm sorry. I'll disappear from now on."
Man, come on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Also, that's so fucked up of her. Like, what's messed up is I'm judging his character because that she sent this out, which is fucked up. Like, she's the more fucked up person for sending it out. But I'm like, how did this slip by your radar, dude? You didn't realize this chick was no fucking good. This is some foul shit, man. Cause it's not like this gives her any better legal standing to have this reign. She just did this cause it's vindictive.
Yep.
She has been very vindictive. And the fact that she kept those text messages, and used them as, you know, as a defense against him. Like, I mean, that's shaky, yo. You put yourself in a situation where now the next cat who comes after you, he's like, "Yo, you got this low pop ring. I got you, babe. Cause I'm not going to give you no real shit. You're going to be play me out on TV or on the Twitter or whatever." Nah, that's out.
That's crazy, man. She's one of those chicks though that you really do wonder, like, how did she win the Groupie Olympics? Cause man, there's many more bad chicks out there, and she somehow got through the VIP line. I don't know how.
She must plan on marrying the boyfriend that she replaced him with, because there's no way she find, well, you know, Evelyn, I take that back. Evelyn Lozada. She found Chad, so.
But Evelyn actually looks good.
Right.
Like, we saw this chick, dude. Like, do I gotta bring the pics back up?
Not that, but we saw what she did to Antoine. And Chad still went along with the publicity stunt.
Cause she bad. And he's stupid.
That's the difference. I think Rod makes a good point. Because of the way she looks, like, Mario Williams' girl is not on that level at all.
Man, looks no
she
looks.
She must be a great brain surgeon or something.
She doesn't look badder than any other groupie Chad has had though. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, man, but I'm looking at these pictures of this chick, man. Jeez, I'm making this the show art so people can understand that it's not a game. This dude getting played by like a 6 at best.
And say what you want, though. But say what you want. Chad, when you look at him play these games or keep my NFL career, he's wanting to be on the team right now.
Yeah, man, but look, we talking about Mario Williams right now. If you playing me, at least let you be fine so I can be like, man, but look, she's so fine. You know what I mean? Don't play me and then my boys go, "That's who you was messing with?"
Man, maybe she's part of the twerk team all-stars.
Man, I don't know what she make it do, but it must involve other women making it do it.
She part of the all-stars, man. Take the D-League. I'm just saying.
She would have to bring other women to the bed to justify anything close to that room. Like, I'm sorry.
Women to the bed.
Right. She need to be pulling them all.
Well, now remember, I'm a proponent that she should keep the ring.
I know you are.
So it's nothing she could do to deserve that amount of money for a ring. Regardless of how good she looked.
That is a great point.
Kobe's wife got $4 million for her ring. So we have to do the math, and I think you're right about the math, that she didn't do anything for this ring. $785,000 compared to $4 million. If you took 10% of Kobe's ring, and this girl doesn't look like 10% as good as Kobe's wife, that's still too much. $400,000.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. And NFL players don't have that money like NBA players.
And at least Kobe could say, you know what, the mother of my children.
Yeah, Kobe's zero sum game boiled down to half or $4 million. That's what that came down to. He was in California too, nigga. You know how much I would have bought her 20 rings.
See what Steve Nash is going through right now. So the situation with the girl that Kobe slept with. Why do cats who have like decent looking wives always go for the side chick who doesn't look anything as good.
Man, they doing as their home, now. See, as their wife. They doing something strange for some change in their bedroom,
dog. I have a theory on that, and my theory is they are going, who the fuck would believe this? That is the only way that I can make it justified in my head is that, like, man, if a chick is like a fucking a four and she works at Starbucks and nobody's trying to holler at that, not even regular dudes, and Tiger Woods fucks her, she could go on Twitter and tell everybody, we're gonna be like, yeah, okay,
right. That's how you can get away with it.
I think that's what the rule was, because we probably got away with it hundreds of times, but that one time you got that forward confidence, man.
You know, the other thing too is, man, with these side chicks, they really, it's not about sports, it's all about you. And sometimes I think that these guys, when they get home, it's like, I got chores, I gotta watch these fucking dishes. Mm-hmm. But when they at these groupies, they the king of the castle at that time.
Maybe, man. I assume so.
And they don't appreciate what they have at home, and they just looking at the right now, I can just lay back and she gonna, you know, kiss the throne.
I don't know, dog. But this wasn't a jump off. This is $785,000 worth of ring to some chick. Fuck that. Klay Thompson unveiled what is about to be the newest trend, swagger suits. Have you seen these, Will?
No, sir. All
right, I'm going to put it in the chat for you, man. This is the most ridiculous bullshit I've ever seen. And I don't have a lot of commentary other than this shit better not catch on. Like, these dudes are like Teletubbies. This is insane.
It's almost making the Splash Brothers fit.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like,
God.
You would... That nickname fits you guys because you guys are lame.
Yeah. Imagine what, for people listening to the show, imagine what, the Hornets mascot Super Hugo comes out to dunk in, but like more furry and a little more loose.
Looking onesie like.
Oh, stop playing. Wait. I just saw this shit. Stop playing, yo.
They looking real onesie like.
It looks like Teletubbies, dude.
Oh shit. They got your boy from a Christmas store. They compared it.
That is from the James Evans Jr. collection.
Oh, man. All right. We're not going to get a better joke than that one. So we got to move to our final segment of the show. And I'll let me play my theme music. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba. That's right. It's this week in Kobe Bryant, where we cover all the news that slips through the cracks for Kobe during the week. This time, we got to go back to a story we first broke 3 weeks ago when Kobe Bryant was suing his mama. Why? Because she was selling his memorabilia. Well, he lost the first round of his court battle yesterday. A federal judge ruled that Bryant... his request to dismiss a lawsuit against the athlete by Golden Auctions of West Berlin. He said, nah, dog, can't throw that out. And he also declined to move the trial to Bryant's home state of California. So he's going to have to be traveling for a trial. The more things change, the more they stay the same for my man Kobe. But it's kind of good news, bad news, because I feel like this means next year he's going to probably average 35 points. You know, he does good when he's going to court cases between games. And
true enough.
I'll go by that track record.
I could see this also turning into an OJ situation where he hems his mother and father up in the hotel room with a gun and like, yo,
take his stuff.
My shit back.
Man, you know what's foul, Will, is she took like a $450,000 advance on the shit, which is the real problem legally, is that she took money, so it's already kind of sold.
Right.
And he's like, I know he's looking at that like, that ain't shit, mom. Like, that really ain't, that's like three games.
That's crackhead prices.
Right? What are you doing? You know how much money I'm making next year alone?
That's in the couch money, yo.
Like, she.
Chains that fall down his shit.
Right? She must have been mad. I can't think of anything other than she was mad, cause that ain't even for a house, man.
I'll tell you why. You know, Kobe brought his, mother-in-law. Somebody that his mother didn't like in the first place, or his wife, they didn't come to the wedding. He bought her a multi-million-dollar house. He couldn't give his mama $250,000.
Oh. Oh, now see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that make a lot more sense, man. Now she got, see, this is what's wrong with mamas though, man. She got all emotional and shit, but she gotta understand the game. Everything Kobe does for that family and for his wife is to stop him from losing half. So complete, like, he's been ransomed in ransom situation since he was like, 19. Cause, you know, when he got with Vanessa, she was like a video hoe on, in the background of this video, and she was not of age. And ever since then, I mean, it's been like this or go to prison. So yeah. He had to do what he had to do. He got married with no prenup and shit, man. He had to treat her parents good. Like, and I don't know, man. I just can't believe his mom's heart didn't soften when she seen them little beautiful, mixed race babies, man. Them little future children walking around so beautiful, man. That normally breaks every black woman down I've ever met. It's like, I don't appreciate you dating this one. Oh, look at the babies. And then they, next thing you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Why, how could she be so hateful?
You know, Kobe could have avoided this if he'd have just went on ahead and divorced her.
A couple years back,
yep.
I mean.
When she was filing for divorce, he should have been like, even during the Denver situation, he should have been like, you know what? I mean, Colorado situation. He should have just been like, you know what? Let's go ahead and get this divorce. Get your half now. I had about 12 more years in the league of money to get.
Well, you're asking for one of the most motivated guys in the league, a true psycho when it comes to winning, to just sit back and take an L, and that's never going to happen.
Right, but is it an L or is it, I'm going to divorce you, and then we get back together and remarry, but with the prenup this time?
If it's an L to him, that's the only thing that matters. What we think about it don't matter at all. If he think a divorce is an L, then that means Kobe won't take one.
See, Justin, you're looking at it like the long game, yo. He's not looking at the long term.
Right.
Obviously, if he was, he wouldn't have slept with homegirl, the chambermaid.
He had to learn he had to learn from Jordan, man.
Yeah.
He watched Jordan his whole life up until Jordan's retirement. He had, and afterwards, even seeing Jordan on a team, Kobe probably got it like, you know what? One day I'm going to get me a team. Because LeBron owned a soccer team. I need to own some shit.
No doubt.
Maybe.
Well, you know what? Before we close this down, it comes back to a Charlotte thing. You talk about Jordan a little bit. You know, your boy Patrick Ewing is an assistant to the new coach in Charlotte, Steve Clifford, right?
Yep. I know. He's going to end up with that job.
No, he's not going to end up with it because Jordan, just like he did in his playing days, always shits on Patrick Ewing, yo.
I can't believe he even interviewed for the job 2 years ago.
Yo, you know he be talking shit on payday.
Hey, man. He came back. He's like, I'm not going to give you this job. I'm going to give you an assistant job. Just like when we were playing in the league, you always came in second to me. It's going to be the same thing in the afterlife, motherfucker. I got you.
Was you in on that Olympic team, that 96 Dream Team?
Yeah, he was. No. He was.
No, was it Olajuwon?
Wait.
Olajuwon.
Was it Robinson?
I know they had,
who were the centers?
They had Robinson and, Olajuwon.
Olajuwon. I don't think that Ewing played on the 96 team. He played on the 92 team.
Jordan always fucking him over.
Damn.
That's what I'm trying to say, yo.
He told him, I don't want Ewing and I don't want little man. I'm not going to say his name, but you know which guy I'm talking about for Detroit. That's exactly how that conversation
went. Even say his name and shit. He just, he be like, little cuz from Detroit.
That's exactly how that conversation went. If you want me on the Olympics, I'm just saying. If you want me.
Yeah, I can't remember. I didn't realize he wasn't on that team, man.
No, Ewing was on 92 team.
Okay.
He was on the 92 team.
Okay, all right, but not 96.
No, I don't think 96. It was Robinson and Olajuwon.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, look, that's why we have Will here, man, for shit like that. Cause you know, we just pull stuff out of our ass on this show, man. But, we appreciate you being on. Make sure you guys go check him out. You can hear him and Dwayne Sweets Watson, the nicest dude for a name that sounds like a pimp I've ever met.
good times.
Yeah. But you can check them out, man. All Balls Don't Bounce is on Stitcher and on iTunes. And then, of course, One-on-One with Will and Dwayne is on TSN Radio, Stitcher, and iTunes. So make sure you guys check them out, man, because like I said, I listen to them and they're funny and they know their shit, unlike us, you know, like, if you know how many footnotes this episode would have had if Will was in charge. And when we started off, it would have took 10 minutes because we would have been like, episode number four, that's Gary Payton, that's, you know, he would have named all the number fours and shit. I don't know if Gary Payton's number four, that was a joke, don't write me. But make sure you guys continue to check us out, man. I appreciate everybody signing up for premium memberships to listen to this. And we'll be back next week, going balls deep on some other sports topics, different day. It'll be on Thursday next week, but I know we got one guest, Les Gilliam, who is also from, the Evening Jones. For people that go around there, you guys should know him. So, we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.